dedication that went there. And I mean, it was amazing what she said. Maybe she can explain for herself.
My name is Lucinda Jelepin. I was the head of the delegation set up by my community to go to Dante Jean's office. And we woke up that morning. We met at his office. We park our cars, and our first time parking downtown because I always take the max downtown. So park our cars, and we went upstairs to his office. We did not have an appointment. We walk in. People in the office were like, they were looking at us and say, "Hi, my name is Lucinda. I'm hailing the delegation of Liberians, and we want to talk to Mr. Dante James." Then the lady, the secretary, said, "Oh, do you guys have an appointment?" I'm like, "No." And she said, "Okay, wait for me." So we sat down there, and then she went and came back. She said, "Well, he's very busy right now, and maybe you guys can come out next week because he's on his way out of the country, so he will not be able to see her." Then I told her, I said, "I don't know if we have next week, but if we can talk to any other person that is in line, we will appreciate that because I don't think we want to leave until we talk to somebody in this office." So she said, "Okay, hold on, let me go back and talk to somebody else." Then Kofi came and he said, "Okay, welcome." We introduced ourselves and said, "Welcome. Let's go to this on the room." And he opened a room to us. He brought us water. And he said, the director doesn't have time right now, but I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And then we can start from there. And he listened to what we have to say. He said, "Well," in the middle of the conversation, he said, "Hold on, don't talk no more. I'm going to get somebody else." And he went and brought Polo. And Polo, they listened to everything we had to say. Before the meeting, before they could start to talk, after we talked, Dante Jean walked in and he sat down. And that was wonderful for me. And that's how it started. She can continue.
So from there, we built a relationship with the Office of Equity and Human Rights. Thank you very much for that. And, this office has been great, and they has put us Liberians out there for other people to know us. We told them our problem. We needed education on what Ebola was. We needed people to be educated. And what can we educate our people when they call us from Liberia? Because now we were afraid to take phone calls for Africa because you don't know what's going to be in the news. So they organized a rally for us. They found a building for us, which was a church building. They prepared, they paid for the food and everything, and they invited healthcare professionals from the Monoma County, one of which was Amy Sullivan, who is a best friend of ours today. Through this office, we were able to meet great people today that made it really wonderful for the Ebola education process to continue. When they organized the rally, they invited the people, the healthcare professional, and they were also present. The people that had a hall, the church building, did not come there. But Dante Jones, his wife, and other people, Kofi Danso, and everybody from Equity Office, they were there, and that was great. At least we had people that we could go to if we had problems. They organized the rally. And then since then, today, we, our association from Liberia, we have been organized here for a number of times. But we always meet in individuals' home to have our meetings, our monthly meeting amongst ourselves. But today, they have organized it so well that we have a building that we do meet in when we want to have our meetings. We don't have to go to individual homes now unless we want to just have fellowship with each other. So they have made it possible for us to have that home where we can have our monthly meetings. And they have opened a role for us today because of them. Now I know Amy Sullivan. I know that Paul Lewis, who is the... Paul Lewis, we know him?
Okay.
We know that Paul Lewis, who is the health office for Monoma County, for Oregon, and Oregon Health Authority. Because of them, we know all of these people. And because of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, they have paved this role that we even had a grant from the state of Oregon for us to be able to go out there and educate our communities about what Ebola was, how can they approached people out there who did not know what to do when people see us as Liberian and they try to run away. What do you need to do? We had that education, we had that means to reach people. I don't think all of this would have been possible if we did not come to Dante Jean's office. He paved this road for, and we have this wonderful relationship now. Most so, I just meet him to places that Africans are. Now, when you go to somewhere where Africans are having something, Dante James is there. He's like, okay, I have a friend now. So this Office of Equity has been so great, and they just help us through our process of our Ebola education. And I believe that they are still going to be there for us. And we know now that we can count on somebody in the state of Oregon, that we are a group of people from somewhere else who always have problems. We always need them. So they have been great. From the secretary that did not even make us to go back and say, you did not have an appointment. You have to make one to come. She made them to go in and see them. And they were all welcoming. It's a great job I believe they are doing down there. And we really appreciate it. I was always wondering if someone was going to listen to this story. Because we don't even want for something bad to happen before somebody can say it. We also want to be able to go out there when someone did something to us that is so great and wonderful to share it. So I really appreciate this time to be here. And I really appreciate your time and everything that you've done for us. And I know you'll still be in our corner. Thank you so much for opening your doors to us. And thank you for this time. If there's anything else that somebody would like to know, I think we can take some questions if you have.
Wow. Thank you for coming here and telling us that story. You're right. People don't. It's often true that in government, you know, we hear about when things don't work. So it's really nice to hear from citizens about how things do work and when the city does serve the people who are in our community. So I think all of us appreciate you coming here today to tell that story, because it's good to hear when the people at the city are reaching out and serving the people that we work for, and that includes you. So thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. McFerrin, good morning. There's a little button on the bottom of that microphone. There you go.
Wow. Mayor Hales, member of the City Council, good morning. My name is Joe McFerrin, second, and I serve as president and CEO of Portland OIC and the Rosemary Anderson High School, as well as a member of the Black Male Achievement Steering Committee. I have a few short remarks, but I would have to say that this this presentation has been pretty powerful for me. So proud to be born and raised in Portland.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a softy, yeah. So anyway, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to share around Black and male achievement in the city's Office of Human Rights and its leader, Dante James. I was first introduced to Black Male Achievement through the Black Male Achievement Initiative in 2013. And in April of 2014, I attended the National League of Cities Conference for Leadership to promote Black male achievement in Oakland, California, for their first cross-site convening. The intense three-day meeting brought cities together to learn from their peers how to advance targeted plans to meet the needs of young Black men and boys who experience disproportionately high rates of poverty, family instability, failure in school, unemployment, incarceration, and homicide compared to their peers. I returned from Oakland inspired by the work being done around the country and the prospect of creating something special here in Portland. Although our efforts here had begun, it was apparent that the initiative was in need of strong leadership. Recognizing that same need, Mayor Hales made a critical decision to place the Black Male Achievement Project in the Office of Equity and Human Rights under the direction of Dante James. Since this move, the BMA has made huge progress. Regular meetings are well attended by the steering committee members. The committee has made many presentations from the local workforce board to juvenile justice and others in the community concerned about the success of black men and boys in our community. Since Dante has taken over, he has galvanized the steering committee. He is dedicated to taking action for black males on exclusionary discipline at the state level, employment, and training opportunities, and the disproportionate minority contact in the juvenile justice system. Dante has worked with the steering committee to draft several documents designed to impact policy around disproportionate discipline in schools, and is also disproportionate contact in the juvenile justice system. This includes a letter submitted on behalf of BMA on Senate Bill 553, as well as a letter to the District Attorneys Association in response to the Juvenile Justice Task Force and the French and Foot Report. Dante is also fully engaged with our local workforce board to make sure that black males may equally participate in internships throughout the city. Since moving BMA to his office, we have truly hit our stride, and we look forward to our work together with the Office of Equity and Human Rights under Dante's leadership. And he has made a commitment to seeing this effort through, and he has got my full support and the full support of my organization. And I would add that I would like to go on record to say that I'd like to get Rosemary Anderson High School students more involved with the Office of Human Rights and Equity, because I think this kind of work can impact particularly at-risk youth and help them change their trajectory to a more positive and fruitful outcome. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your leadership. Appreciate it. Thank you all very much. Dante, do you have any other invited speakers? Okay. Come on back up, and then we'll see if we have anyone signed up for public testimony. Do we? Okay. Why don't you call those? So Sue, why don't you call anyone for public testimony, and then we'll see if we have any other questions.
We have Charles Johnson signed up to testify.
Charles, you still here? Anyone else want to speak? Come on up. Hey, Joe. All right.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I would ask your patience. Good news is I'm losing my voice. I'm sure there's a few people on the council that are happy about that. Do you have a copy of the brochure in front of you? This brochure? Would you look on page 6? There's a part there under Disability Equity Program. The first one talks about the disabled parking regulations. Individuals for Justice has a running battle with Commissioner Novick on this. This, the way we understand it, is that the people that were using disabled parking permits are now required to pay. And that also includes disabled veterans. So we have a running battle with this council and this commissioner about that. Now, I know that there's a lead into the program, but for us, for this program to endorse that is bizarre, as far as we're concerned.
It says advised.
So just on the record.
It advised, not it says it advised the process.
Well, all your commissions advise you, Charlie. Yeah. I mean, you make the decisions. They just advise you, right? I don't know of any commission that can tell the mayor what to do. I don't know any of them. Okay, so we're very much upset over that one. On page 9, the Department of Justice Settlement, the COCO, you know we have a running battle with you about the appeal of Judge Michael Simon's decision. We have no information that you withdrew that, or you're in the process, or where it is. Our last indication was that you're going forward with this, and we have a real serious problem with that, along with other organizations. And for the Human Rights Commission, I think came out against that. Am I right on that? Came out against that. I would like to see that in big letters, that they were against that. Okay, so I don't know where that is as far as you're concerned. And then I have kind of a question. On page 12, we have a graph that stunned me, and activists like to be proven wrong, so please prove me wrong on this one. When I look at that graph and I see that red, is that the white population of the city employees that are here? What is that red?
Was that workforce or is that neighborhood involvement?
It's just one bureau. It's just an example of one bureau's workforce.
Okay, so what is the percentage of whites in the entire city? We know that?
You mean in the
that population? Are employed by the city?
Oh, in the city population, the city workforce.
The workforce is about 22% people of color, I think was the last number I saw.
22% of everybody of color. So it would be African Americans, Hispanics.
Full-time employees.
And what's the percentage of whites?
It would be that
88%.
78%?
78% of whites. Okay, over the last 5 years, have we gone up, down? How are we doing on that?
That's what we're tracking. And for reference, the city as a whole is about 72% white.
I mean, are we improving what we're doing?
Yes.
I mean, can we say 3 years ago it was 80% and now it's 74%? Those are just figures I'm pulling out of the air to show that we're increasing our equity.
Yes, so each bureau, we have that, thanks to the Office of Equity and Human Rights, we have that by bureau, and so that's certainly part of my evaluation of my bureau directors as to, are we making progress? Show me the numbers.
Okay, so I would suggest that maybe you would break that down a little bit more, because when we looked at this and we saw this red, it jumps out at you, and then you look up here and say, city workforce demographics dashboard, that indicates to us that it's entire city employees, and we have 80% white, which would be bizarre, and only 1.9% of African Americans, which would...
One bureau.
That's one bureau. Yeah.
Right, I understand that, but I'm saying that if somebody was reading this, a reasonable person would take those two things and put them together and say, we're not doing so good. And I think you're doing better than this says, or this implies,
yes,
anyway.
So good point. Thank you. Thanks very much. Mr. Johnson.
And now, shut up.
Okay.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. Gracias, alcalde. I know that doing the deep data mining is not easy to squeeze into a presentation, but when we apply the equity lens, we certainly need to look at salary and wages. We don't want, and also subcontracted work. I certainly hope some of the city budget surplus will go to PHC and we'll have more Latino and black janitors, but that won't please me nearly as much as having more ethnic diversity on the mayor's staff, a better balance, as we see with this group here. Probably because of good recruiting, we've got somewhat maybe disproportionate representation of Latinos in Office of Neighborhood Involvement. So we want to always be encouraging the diverse staff we have to do recruiting and diversify outside of our own silos. It's natural for us to have limited social networks that don't cross those boundaries, and we want to encourage, if somebody is Latino and looking to get friends jobs, for them to look outside to Asians and to African-American residents of Portland, especially in any bureau that has a slight out of balance as to how it's been able to diversify. And also, while we've talked about racism and ableism, we need to also talk about better engagement with youth. Obviously, certain jobs are only available to people with a certain level of experience. But I think we're going to find that a younger generation than myself and than most of you is doing better than we are at being less ableist and less racist and less sexist. So I hope that as this conversation goes on, that Bureau Chief, I can't call him a commissioner, I guess, so will be vigorous. Already on the Human Rights Commission, I think we have better than average youth representation, and I hope that that will also be an issue that you look at. But especially, how do we diversify people who have the best salaried jobs, like the ones that Jackie Dingfelder and Gail Shibley have? Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay.
Just for the record, I believe the city is the largest employer of youth in our city.
Yep.
That means we need to look at something with economic development then.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions for Dante before we take a motion to accept the report?
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Well, this is good to celebrate the achievements of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, which was so difficult to form and which, frankly, has had struggles over the last 3 years, as any new organization did, that we have highlighted the successes today, as is right. We have a lot of criticism of folks who say that we haven't done enough and we haven't done it fast enough, and both of those are correct. And so I'm very pleased that to celebrate what we have done. Mr. McFerrin said that he's proud to be born and raised in Portland. I'm proud I chose to come to Portland. And I want people to know that anybody can walk into any office in the city and people will try to help. You know, the experiences we had from our friends from Liberia, that's not a surprise to me. I appreciate that staff all over the city will go the extra mile to try to help. And the Office of Equity and Human Rights staff exemplify that. Thanks very much to our partners in other bureaus, Anna Canwit in particular, in the Bureau of Human Resources, figuring out it's about who works for the city, who gets contracts with the city, and who gets services from the city. Those are the three focus areas that we set up the Office of Equity and Human Rights for, in which the staff has taken to new heights. And we can't do that without partners, including our bureau directors. And I thank each one of them, particularly Mike Abate, one of my directors, who I think was the first to hire an equity and inclusion manager in Art Hendricks, and as a reporting to him directly and getting frequent reports to me on how are we doing in our bureaus as far as not only hiring and succession planning, promotion, but services and how are we interacting with our citizens. Really appreciate the diverse, empowered employees of Portland and all the work that they do on their own time, on volunteers, as well as the Human Rights Commission and the Commission on Disability. People putting in extraordinary amounts of effort to make this actually work, because it's been, as was presented at the beginning, since the 1600s that we have institutionalized racism and ableism, and it's time to stop. And I appreciate that we have made those strides. Particularly want to call out Amalia Alacondamaris and Susan Anderson, who continue to be leaders in partnership with Director James and Dora Perry in my office, who is my guide on equity issues. Thanks also to each of my partners here on the council who have embraced this, and kudos to the mayor for having taken this program and this bureau and brilliant move to put the Black Male Achievement Award. Thank you. The initiative in the office, and moving when the time was right, moving the Title II and Title VI issues into that office, that work. And I need to point out that I believe Dante James is not asking for additional resources in this year's budget. So we have we probably at some point do need to invest even more, and yet we also don't want to make it seem like this office is the only office that's doing the work on equity. It's all 6,000 employees at the city, and I really appreciate that we've embraced that under your leadership. Aye.
Fish.
Well, Commissioner Fritz has captured, I think, all the right themes for this event, and I echo what she has said. I'll add just three things. First is, we have a chance to work pretty regularly with members of your equity team on various matters. So I just want to acknowledge the great team you've assembled and their professionalism, and thank them for that. Second is, I'm a kind of a student of annual reports, the way they're put together. And, you know, we often get dinged by Elders in Equity because the font's not right, the information's not laid out. I told Jeff Selby that I think this is one of the most effective reports that any bureau has put out, and we're going to steal a number of the innovations in this. So nice work. And third, I urge you to come back to us following this hearing because I think you're hearing a lot of receptivity, and give us your recommendation on at what frequency should we require Equity 101 training. And again, my sense is we can move to implement that at the front end for all new hires. And then what is a reasonable frequency that takes into consideration the benefits of the program and your staff capacity? But I appreciate the progress we're making, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for the great report. I also want to add my accolades to this annual report, too. So good job, Jeff. It's really a very readable and chock-filled with accomplishments, and that's a good thing to see. And so, Dante, I just want to, you know, personally thank you, thank the Commission on Disability, the Human Rights Commission, and the staff for, you know, really giving great legs to this office and getting things done. And it's probably, sitting on our, I think it's great that the mayor has pioneered you sitting at the table for all of our budget bureau discussions. I think that's really a great innovation. And in fact, your office isn't asking for additional resources. And this outstanding hearing?
Not yet.
Well, I was just going to say this was probably well timed, given you haven't had your annual review yet. I think you've queued that up well. So, anyway, it's a great report, and thanks to everybody for their good work. Aye.
Novick.
Dante, first of all, I want to thank you for your office's participation in our discussions about taxi cab regulations. Your participation is incredibly valuable and much appreciated. I really appreciate all the testimony we heard today about the value of the office. I also want to express my appreciation to the council members who created this office, because it was controversial at the time, and I still hear flack about it. A couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with an elected official who remained nameless who said, "You're never going to get a street fee until you abolish the Office of Equity, because you have to show you're getting rid of all these frivolous stuff." And I said, well, I think that's politically wrong and morally wrong, but I mean, that's the kind of thing we still hear. So I appreciate those on the council who listened to all that stuff and moved ahead anyway. Dante, I have to say that I still like the idea of having as part of the mechanism we use to determine which decision packages are funded, have an NCAA tournament style equity smackdown where you have like 64 decision packages and you match each packages against each other on equity grounds. So I think we're probably too late in the budget cycle to do that, but I still think that would be something worth doing for next year. Thank you. Aye.
Hales.
Well, Commissioner Fritz, thanks for getting this good thing started, and I'm glad to hear that you think we're still on the right track. I think we have great leadership, great team in this bureau, amazing volunteers, and amazing partners in the bureau and in the community. So we've built some strength here, and we need it because there's a lot of work to do. There are old issues of racism and injustice in our city, and there are new ones too, because Portland is becoming this amazing magnet for people from all over the world to move here. And we have to make sure that this is a just and open society for those new Portlanders, just like we need to for those of us who grew up here and who, like Joe, are proud to be from here, even if we're not proud of the whole history. And I'll tell you, the Black Male Achievement Initiative, I really appreciate, Dante, your stewardship of that. It gets driven home to me again and again how much work we have to do. You don't have to look far to see the numbers, but actually you don't have to look far to see the people either. As it happened, I was in East Precinct at midnight on Saturday when there was the 30th gang violence incident in our city this year, and I ended up speaking to a young man who was the intended target of the shooter and who fortunately wasn't hit. And he's 17, and I'll withhold his name because he's a juvenile and a witness in a felony case, unfortunately. But just talking to that young man and realizing why the Black Male Achievement Initiative is so important. If he and the other young people in our community feel like there really is mentorship and support and opportunity for them, they'll get as far away from that toxic behavior as they can. And just every time I have one of those conversations, it makes it even more real for me what the Black Male Achievement Initiative is doing and why it has so much importance in our community. So appreciated Joe being here today and the other community leaders that are working with our support to make Portland different. Finally, I appreciate the fact that we're a leader in things. I just started my day this morning helping with a local team make a presentation to a national organization about a high-tech new way to build buildings out of wood, and they think they might do the first one in Portland. And we like it when we're the first one in Portland. And I appreciate the fact that Bobby Lee from the governor's office is here today, because hopefully Portland will be a leader for the state in this work, as well as how we build things. Thank you all very much. Aye. Thank you all. Good job.